नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम 9th कैंटो चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल अम्बरीश महाराज ऑफेंडेड बाय दुर्वास मुनि।
यो मामतिति मायातम अतिथ्येन निमन्त्रय च अदत्वा भुक्तमांस्तस्य सद्यस्ते दर्शये फलम्।
यो ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। महाराज अम्बरीश, यू हैव इन्वाइटेड मी टू ईट एज अ गेस्ट, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you. A devotee cannot be defeated by a so-called mystic yogi. This will be proved by the failure of Durvas Muni's endeavor to chastise Maharaj Amrish. Harau abhaktasya kuto mahat gunaha. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord has no good qualification, however great a mystic, philosopher or fruitive worker he may be. Only a devotee emerges victorious in all circumstances, as will be shown in this incident involving the rivalry between Durvas and Maharaj Amrish.
Oh Amrish, you have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you.
I think it is indeed very amazing and inconceivable the way in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, utilizes the services of Durvasa Muni to glorify the pure devotees of the Lord. This particular episode also illustrates this point. Durvasa Muni is saying, Sadyah te darshaye phalam. I shall show you something to punish you. Now, very many times when children fight over some matter, one party is aggrieved, the other party is very, very angry, and he says, I shall show you. Main dikhata hun. So this is very common among children. In fact, I suppose it is common even among grown-ups. So this attitude of I will show you reflects the anger of an individual. Here, in a somewhat similar way, Durvas Muni is issuing kind of a threat to Amrish Maharaj, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, who has perfected his life by practice of Navavidha Bhakti. All of them has practiced it perfectly. So Durvas Muni in great anger is practically saying, so you invited me to be your guest and you have had the audacity to eat before me, into bracket, the great personality Durvas, bracket complete. So I will show you immediately the consequences of trifling with a person like me. This is almost like what children say to one another. But then of course, Durvas Muni is not a child. He is a great personality, an expansion of Lord Shiva. And while this is true, it is equally true that Amrish Maharaj, who had been observing the Ekadashi Vrata, had committed no offense whatsoever towards Durvas Muni. Yet Durvas Muni got very, very angry. So anger prone. So in fact, we read in the previous verses that as soon as Durvas Muni arrived in the kingdom of Amrish Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj very respectfully stood up and he offered him a seat and also the paraphernalia of worship. Then sitting at the lotus feet of Durvas Muni, Ambarish Maharaj actually requested him to eat. So it's not that he had not offered him something to eat. He says, Yayache Abhya Vaharaya Padamulam Upagataha. So Durvasa Muni had been offered the due courtesy which he deserved by Ambarish Maharaj. And yet, Ambarish Maharaj's etiquette is found to be at fault by Durvasa Muni. So, and what was Ambarish Maharaj's reason for even doing that so-called transgression, inverted comma? There was no transgression. What he had done was that merely on the advice of the Brahmanas, exalted Brahmanas, he had broken his fast at the Parana time, not by eating something, but just by sipping a few drops of Charanamrut, which was advised to him. So, Durvasa Muni had only to find out why he did what he did, but he was suddenly very, very angry. It's not that Ambarish Maharaj had feasted on a, you know, Dwadashi, you know, Prasad in a big way. No, just he had followed the instructions of Brahmanas and sipped a few drops because he wanted to breakfast, at the same time not breakfast, so as to not offend his guests. So Ambarish Maharaj at every point is not wanting in the etiquette of serving a guest. Yes, Atithi Devo Bhava, a guest is to be treated almost like a demigod. But here, Ambarish Maharaj has done no crime, he has done no offense, but Durvasa Muni is very, very angry. And he, as we see in the previous verses, he blasphemes Ambarish Maharaj in very, very cruel words. Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. Very, very harsh and very, very cruel words, especially when the person who is the recipient of these words is the pure devotee, the humble pure devotee of the Lord, Ambarish Maharaj. So, therefore, Prabhupada in his purport writes that Durvasa's endeavor to chastise Maharaj Ambarish is doomed to failure, as it is proved later on, and catastrophic for him. Why? Because Ambarish Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord. Durvasa Muni might be having a lot of mystic powers, but he is an abhakta. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Harau abhaktasya kuto mahad gunaha. So a pure devotee of the Lord is automatically endowed with so many transcendental divine qualities. Whereas an abhakta, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, though he might have through tapasya and other means achieved a lot of mystic powers or mystic qualities, he remains an abhakta. He has not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, kuto mahaguna, what kind of qualities would he have? If Durvasa Muni had a spark of divine qualities, he would not have been so unreasonable with Ambarish Maharaj. So we find therefore that a person who has mere power but who is not surrendered to the Lord will never be on the right platform. And this we say in case of Durvasa Muni. So this episode of unreasonable anger is doomed to be a failure, because Ambarish Maharaj, because of the divine qualities that he has by virtue of being a pure devotee, is prashanta. He is always calm, cool and collected and not agitated at all. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj once in one of his classes made us repeat thrice a very famous statement, that the greatness of a person is estimated by his capacity to tolerate provoking situations. This he made us repeat again and again. So, what is a provoking situation? It can differ from place to place, time to time, and person to person. In this material world in which we are living, people, you know, become provoked at the drop of a pin, so to say. So, they become easily provoked. So, in science, in chemistry especially, there is a term, please permit me to invest a little of my lecture in a little bit of chemistry. There is a term called ground state and an excited state. So a molecule, you know, absorbs some energy or light and it goes into the excited state. And how does the excited state come back to ground state? It emits light. So the famous phenomena of fluorescence, phosphorescence are ascribed to this. An excited state giving off some light. That's how it is. Now, in my very humble way, I hope I'm not committing any offense, I would like to compare Ambarish Maharaj to a ground state, you know. Ground state, always feet on earth, calm, cool, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Ambarish Maharaj. And Durvasa Muni, he exemplifies in a very unequivocal way excited state. Very easily, very prone to getting excited. And how does he doesn't emit light to come to ground state, but he comes out with very, very provocative words, very harsh words, followed by action. So anger in words first, followed by anger in action, as we see what has happened. So that is described. I see many times in this world also, material world also, that the flashpoint, you know, of people, in chemistry you also use the term flashpoint, you know. Now some liquids, you know, are easily inflammable. A spark somewhere in the laboratory and, you know, you have kept a solvent, diethyl ether, in a corner, and if the bottle is open, it can catch fire. The flashpoint is very low. Similarly, the flashpoint of anger for many people in this material world is, you know, so low. A very small thing, a trivial thing can, you know, excite them, send them to an excited state, and they will come down to ground state only when, you know, they have used the choicest of expletives or, you know, used, you know, brutal methods to, you know, come down to ground state. This is how it is. I remember I had a friend, he would always say, "Macha talpayachi aag mastakala jate." Talpayachi aag. No. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada would always say that talapaya, that is the soles of our feet, they should be, you know, warm, and the head, you know, always should be cool. That is actually a true nature of the devotee. But in the material world, we find that anger comes very easily to people. There are quarrels, fights, and even stabbings over, you know, parking of motor cars in the compound. So many things. What happens in trains. So anger comes very easily to the Kali Yuga personality. So unless one harnesses anger in service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, for example, like Hanuman ji or Arjun, anger and devotional service, bhakti, they go ill together. They can never be together. There is a story which I had read in one of the, you know, Bhakti Shastra, I think it was Kalyan Kalpataru, read a story, which I'd like to share with you. There was once a saint, saintly personality, who was approached by a person. He approached him, offered his obeisances and said, "Oh holy man, I want to have sakshatkar. I want to realize myself." So the holy man looked at him and then told him, "Go home, do bhajan for 1 year and then report to me on the same day. After 1 year, you come to me." So this man was sincere. He went back home, he did his bhajan, and a day previous to this man coming back to the saint told a sevak, a sweeper actually, who is to sweep in his hut, he told him, "When this man comes tomorrow, what you do is that with your broom, you know, you see that some dust is sprayed on his body." The sevak said, "All right, I mean, this is you instructing me this, I will do it." Normally he wouldn't do it, but he said, "You are instructing me, I will do it." So the next day dawn, this man was coming with great expectations, looking forward to, you know, getting that sakshatkar. So he was coming, and this sweeper, he took with his broom, he just, you know, sprayed dust, some dirt on the man. And then that man, he went into a towering rage. He went to literally beat him, you know, punish him. He ran after him. The sweeper ran away. He could not catch hold of him. So the person said, "Now, you know, I have been contaminated. How can I go and meet a saintly person? So I must go and purify myself." He went home, had a bath, wore clean, nice clothes. Paul came back and he said that, "To Maharaj, you know, I have come. 1 year, you know, I have done Hari Bhajan." So the saintly personality said that, "You run after people like a serpent to bite them, and you think that you can get sakshatkar? Go home. Come after 1 more year and then we'll see." So the man went back. He was obedient. He went back, and after coming 1 year, he practiced. He did whatever he was instructed, Hari Bhajan and all that. And then he came back to see the saint on the appointed day. And as he was trying to enter into the house, the sweeper manifested himself there. This time, you know, what he did was that with his broom, he literally sprayed actual dirt. Last time it was dust, but this time he actually, you know, sprayed him with some dust. Now, this time the reaction was that the man used some, you know, abuses, ugly words, and this time he didn't try to beat that man as he had done earlier. He was not intimidating, just showed his anger with some harsh words. And then again he had to go back, he had his bath, came back to report to the saint and said that, "I have come now after 1 year." He said, "You have come after 1 year after doing bhajan, but you still hiss like a serpent. You're still hissing like a serpent. So this will not do. So you go back again, come after 1 year." The man was obedient, went back home, came after 1 year. And after coming, as he was entering, this time the sweeper, again following the instructions of the saint, this time he emptied the entire garbage can on his head. This time no small measures, emptied. But what was the reaction of this man? He actually, with folded hands, thanked this, you know, sweeper. He said that, "I am very grateful to you. But for you, I would never ever in this life have had any control over my anger. Thanks to you, now I am able to control my anger." Of course, the story doesn't say what happened next. So you can imagine it. I leave it to your imagination. So basically, humility is the requirement. This is what we have been taught. Trunadapi sunichena, tarurapi savishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So anger, then lust, anger and greed are considered to be the three enemies. Krishna spells it out in the Bhagavad Gita. Trividham narkasyedam dwaram nashanatmanah kamah krodha tatha lobah tasmat etat trayam tyajet. So if one wants to make progress in spiritual life, these three need to be completely avoided. So the common perception about anger is that when desires are frustrated, one becomes angry. But that need not always be the case. As I mentioned, that people can become angry for very, very trivial reasons. I would like to share a small little story from Mahabharata. It's not actually a small story, I'll make it small, from Mahabharata. So, when the Pandavas had to complete their 1 year, 13th year of exile in the forest, at that time, they decided, during the 13th year, they decided that they should now live incognito somewhere where they would not be recognized by anyone. These were the terms of the game of dice that were played, because if they were recognized, they would have to again spend 12 years. So they decided that they will spend their time in the kingdom of Virat. So they went to that Matsya Desh, and every one of them, the Pandavas, disguised themselves. Yudhishthira Maharaj became Kanka, the advisor to Virat. Then Bhima, he became a cook. His name was Vallabha, a cook and a wrestler. He entertained the king by his wrestling. Then Arjun, taking advantage of a curse that had been given by Urvashi, he became, you know, Brihannila. And then Draupadi became Sairandri. Nakul became Granthik, I think. And Sahadeva became Tantrik. So this way, each one assumed a disguise and everyone, you know, changed their occupation, so to say. And they lived in the Virat, kingdom of Virat, unrecognized by anyone. To cut a long story short, it so happened once that when Virat was away on a campaign, war campaign, Duryodhan, with his stalwart warriors like Bhishma Dev, Drona, Karna, Ashwatthama, Krupacharya, he attacked the kingdom of Virat and stole away his 60,000 cows. And at that time, Virat was not available, he was not there. So the cowherd men approached the son of Virat, who is famous as Uttar Kumar. Uttar Kumar had a PhD in bragging. Very stalwart bragger, wonderfully. So he would brag. So the cowards, they approached him. He said that, please, you save us, please regain the cows. Cows are our wealth. Godhan, they are our wealth. You please, somehow or other, go and regain them. Uttar Kumar said, what's the worry? Don't worry, I will single-handedly go and face Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and everyone. But there is one difficulty. I need a charioteer. And if there is no charioteer, I can't go. Which is valid, of course. At that time, Arjuna, who was Brihannila, arranged it that he will become the charioteer. Again, I won't go into the long story. So the roles were reversed. Actually, when Uttar Kumar faced the army, he almost fainted on the road. He said that, please, let the Kauravas take away the cows. Let my kingdom be conquered. Let me face all shame before all the citizens of my country. Doesn't matter. But no war, please. But then Arjun realized that the time had come for them to shed their disguise. It was almost end of 13th over. He said, don't worry. We will reverse the roles. I will fight, you become my charioteer. So the weapons which have been hidden on a shamit tree on the top of a hill on the outskirts of the Virata's kingdom, they were retrieved. Arjuna took his Gandiva bow and single-handedly, of course, he blew on his conch, Devadatta, and single-handedly he destroyed the Kaurava army and he recovered the cows and came back. So when they came back, at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was serving Virat. Virat had come back from his campaign and Yudhishthira Maharaj was serving him. And at that time, Virat said, where is my dear son, Uttar Kumar? So the royal ladies told him, your son is on a glorious campaign, single-handedly has gone to fight with the Kuru army. So Virat became very aggrieved. He said that my son, facing such, you know, Ratis and Maharatis, what will be his fate? He will be killed. Oh, when he said that, Yudhishthira Maharaj very smilingly said, O king, if Uttar Kumar has Brihannila as his charioteer, your son will defeat all, not only the, you know, not only Bhishma and others, he will defeat all demigods and demons combined together. So what is the worry? Now, at the same time, news of, you know, victory percolated inside the kingdom. So Virat heard the news. He said, Uttar Kumar has come back victorious. He has defeated all the stalwart warriors of Kuru dynasty. So he started bragging. He said that, you know, my son, you know, you don't know his prowess. He has defeated everyone and he has come back. Now, it was very difficult for Yudhishthira Maharaj to take it. It was very, very difficult. So, Maharaj Yudhishthira said, O king, this is not surprising that Uttar Kumar has won, because Brahmanala had driven Uttar Kumar's chariot. He has slowly and steadily, Virat was reaching his flashpoint, slowly and steadily. So the comment irritated King Virat, and he literally screamed at Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said that, foolish, how dare you compare a eunuch, that is Brahmanala, with my heroic son? I consider this to be a great insult. And it's only because, you know, we have a friendly relationship, I forgive you this time. But don't do it again. Now I have reached my flashpoint. However, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not take the hint. He said, O king, I do not think that your son actually deserves any credit for this victory. No one else but Brahmanala could fight against Bhishma, Drona, Krupacharya, Duryodhana and Ashwatthama. That was it. He had reached the highest excited state, and now the time had come for him to come back to ground state. And how did he do it? He took a dice and threw it forcefully at Yudhishthira Maharaj, and actually he started bleeding. And Yudhishthira Maharaj very, very compassionately held the blood on his palms and said, did not allow the blood to fall on the ground, because had it fallen, Virata and his kingdom would have been destroyed. So we find sometimes that people go into this mode of anger even when somebody else is praised. Of course, this arises from envy. We don't like somebody else being praised. They don't mind, you know, if we are praised, but somebody else being praised, atrocious. So they can become very angry. So this is an example of anger which was shown by Virat. So again, he is not exhibiting the quality of tolerance which only a devotee can exhibit. So I would like to conclude my narration by a small episode, small pastime from Mahabharata again, once again. Once, it is described, Draupadi made a very deliberate attempt to provoke anger in Yudhishthira Maharaj. She made a very deliberate attempt. This was while they were in exile. So she said, dear husband, I am the daughter of great Draupad. I am the wife of the Pandavas. I am the sister of Drushtadyumna. How is it that you can tolerate my walking in the forest like this and suffering? And how is it that you can tolerate all your younger brothers also suffering in this forest? How is it that you can tolerate? And then she said, dear husband, is it that you don't have any anger in you? Or is it that you don't have any tej, you don't have any kshatra tej in you? Because if you had even a little bit of kshatra tej, you would not have allowed this to happen. So Draupadi was practically insulting her husband Yudhishthira Maharaj. And of course her intention was just to provoke him. She was trying to assess the threshold level of flashpoint. So she was trying to provoke him. But then she said, the person in whom there is no kshatra tej and there is no anger, such a person is unfit to be called a kshatriya. In short, Draupadi almost called him a sissy. This is a modern term, sissy. But what do you think was Yudhishthira Maharaj's reaction? Yudhishthira Maharaj remained in ground state only. He was not at all agitated, perturbed. Instead, he used the opportunity to preach to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, Atmanam cha parancheva trayate mahato bhayat krudhyantam aprati krudhyan dvayoresha chikitsaka. He said that a person may be a right candidate for our anger, but if one forgives such a person, one who deserves our anger, then he saves both, that is, one who gets angry and the one who is the recipient of anger, from great peril. Trayato mahato bhayat. It's almost like the Bhagavad Gita. कोर्स त्रायते महतो भयात. सो एंड देन ही सेड वाच्या अवाच्ये ही कुपितो न प्रजानाति कर्हिचित ना कार्यम अस्ति क्रुद्धस्य ना वाच्यम विद्यते तथा. इन शॉर्ट ही वॉज टेलिंग द्रौपदी दैट एन एंग्री पर्सन इज नॉट एट ऑल कॉन्शियस वॉट इज अवाच्य वॉट इज टू बी नॉट सेड एंड वॉट इज टू बी सेड. इजंट इट ट्रू वेन वी बिकम एंग्री वी लूज कंट्रोल अवर अवर थिंकिंग प्रोसेस अवर थॉट्स एंड वी से एनीथिंग just anything that comes to the tongue. So an angry person vomits out whatever comes to his mind, and then he appealed to her good conscience and said, O Draupadi, how can I take shelter of anger, which is the root of all anarthas? I cannot take shelter. And then he corrected her and said, what makes you think that anger and kshatra tej are related? They are not related. Kshatra Tej actually is there in a person, a Kshatriya, who has the capacity to forgive, who is Kshamashila. Only such a person can, you know, have Kshatra Tej. So don't be under this impression that Kshatra Tej and anger are related. Yes, anger is a quality in war you require. Arjuna, you know, shot his arrows. Not when he was in a very placid mood, he was angry, but he shot arrows. But he said that these two are not related. And then he said, he quoted Kashyap Muni as saying, Kshama dharma kshama yajna kshama veda kshama shrutam ya etad evam janati sa sarvam kshantum arhasi. He said that forgiveness is religion, forgiveness is sacrifice, forgiveness is Veda, forgiveness is scripture. Thus, one who realizes the true nature of forgiveness, for him, forgiveness becomes a second nature. Therefore, Draupadi, abandon your anger and become forgiving in nature. And we see how very gloriously and beautifully Draupadi accepted this instruction in her own life. When Ashwatthama ruthlessly butchered her 5 sons, and when, it's a long story in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Arjuna and the Supreme Lord Krishna captured Ashwatthama and brought him in the presence of Draupadi, her reaction was not of revenge or vengeance. Her reaction was of one of forgiveness. She said to Arjuna, she said that this Ashwatthama is the son of our preceptor, Dronacharya. So, set him free. I don't want that Ashwatthama's mother Kripi should suffer in the same way that I am suffering due to loss of my sons. So Draupadi is also a great soul, so she is practicing this principle of Kshama Shilata. So we see this quality in very many people. We see it in Ambarish Maharaj. It will come in future verses. I don't want to talk about it. And we see it in so many great Vaishnavas. Tortured and nailed to a cross, Jesus Christ cried out. He said that forgive them, for they know not what they are saying. So this is the quality of a Vaishnava. Beaten at 22 marketplaces, Haridas Thakur prays to the Lord for forgiveness to those who are tormenting him and who are torturing him and punishing him. So this is indeed a quality of a Vaishnava. They are always rooted to the ground, always taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, and therefore always cool and never prone to agitation. Apuryamanam achalam pratishtam, the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So always, like the ocean which doesn't get agitated when rivers, you know, join it, even rivers in spate, similarly a saintly person, a Vaishnava, doesn't get agitated by things that happen to him or in his life. So that is the mood of Ambarish Maharaj in the verses that will follow. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by mercy of our spiritual master, we in ISKCON, we have been taught not to admire people who have, you know, power, mystic power, but to derive inspiration from humble, pure devotees of the Lord like Ambarish Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any comments, please feel free. I'm not saying questions because I'm unfit. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.